This is the Giraffes Don't Eat Steak podcast, a show that brings you marketing stories, tips, hints, and much more. A treat for those who want to succeed in business or marketers who just want to learn.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, how's it going?
It is so cold again.
Yeah, I like it though, because it means I was getting worried that in December we were in double figures, because that just makes global warming evident to me.
Okay.
And that scares me a bit. I was dreaming of frosty, fresh mornings like this, and we're getting it, which is good. And I was actually looking for, you know, on your Google phone or whatever, it comes up with this time 2 years ago or something like that. And this time, is it 2 years ago? I can't remember now. Anyway, where I am, it's just completely covered in snow, and I've got photos of all of us out, like in the deep snow, and that hasn't happened yet. And I want it to happen, because that's what should be happening. We should be getting snow at this time, and if we don't, it's bad. But I think next week we've got a bout of snow coming. So
looks like it, yeah. But February is usually snow, right? I think we usually get February snow.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So that's in my head, that's when it is. It's February snow. It's usually around when kids have half term.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe I just need to be a bit more patient.
I don't know why that's like a connection for me, is I remember half term with my kids walking through the snow. So,
well, that's quite a big memory, isn't it? Big snow, going out and being silly in the snow with your kids.
Yeah.
That makes sense why you remember that.
And it wouldn't be when they're at school, so it must be half term.
Unless you took them out of school to play in the snow.
No, I never did. If any education officers listening, I do not do that.
I mean, I don't have kids, but I heard it's quite harsh now, the penalties for taking your kids out even for a bit of school, for a holiday a few days before the term breaks or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I've never had the fine, but they threaten fines. So education's important.
Apparently so.
Right. So I wanted to share something that's happened to me over the last month, which is an irritating sales experience. Now, it's quite an interesting one, because sales and marketing are usually at war, right? In my experience, in our experience, you know, you get, marketing's bringing rubbish leads, marketing's bringing too many leads, marketing's bringing too few leads. Do you remember we had that board up when we worked together? How days without sales moaning. And it was never more than zero. It was every day was some moan, right? Something was wrong with the quality of leads we were providing. But from a sales, and then we moaned equally, right? We were just as moany about time to call. You're not calling back on time. Your scripts are rubbish. You're like not listening to the client. So we gave as good as we took. But this experience, you know, when a salesperson misses the buying signals, I lose it. I will name, because I will write to them, LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Mm-hmm. I've used it before with companies. It's very successful. And so I want to use it. Great. So I go on their website looking for a price, because it's been a while. Don't know what the price is from a company perspective. Can't find price anywhere, right? It's nowhere to be seen. Can't find price. You have to book a call with somebody. So no problem. This is end of November. I book a call for a price. Messages I get back, it's Christmas now, whatever. We can only meet you in Jan. Like, wow. Okay, I actually just want a price, because I want to buy. Like, I know it. I've used it. I'm in. I just need the price, right? No, we need to talk to you so we can give you the price. Okay, no problem. 2nd of Jan. Can we meet 9 o'clock 2nd of Jan? You know, you said Jan. I'm hungry. Let's go. So 9 o'clock 2nd of Jan, we have our meeting. And it's this poor little boy. Okay, and I will say, I don't blame him. This is his job. But I lost it, because he starts, as they do, you know this, tell me about your business. What do you do? What are your biggest problems? So I started answering, like, after 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, stop the bus. You don't need to sell to me. I'm in. I don't need the sales pitch. I'm ready. I need the price so I can pay. Oh, I'm not the one to give you the price. I'm just here to get information so I can book a different meeting with you. And that's when I lost it. I'm like, I've waited a month. I've waited a whole month for this meeting. And now we're having a meeting that's got nothing to do with me. This is all about you. I'm ready. I'm sitting here with my credit card in my hand. And you can't help me. Like, oh, I'm so irritated by this.
I mean that, if anything, just from a LinkedIn, the LinkedIn point of view, that's a waste of their time and money,
What a
right?
waste.
They're paying that person. They could have
They could have had money
put
from
their
me in
the money.
November.
Yeah, exactly.
In November.
And that could have been so that by the time you will have fulfilled, they probably have missed out on maybe 2 months. And okay, just you on an individual basis, that's nothing for them. But how often is this happening?
And
And how
not, and if there was a competitor, I was so annoyed I would have gone. Like quite literally, I would have moved on because you obviously don't want to do business with me.
I mean, that's maybe a problem for some of the larger companies that have, well, they have a monopoly for the business side of social media, don't they? So, they really can do what they want. Because, like you said, if there was a competitor, you'd go, but there isn't.
This is what I need right now. So they're actually just lucky. In fact, if anyone out there is thinking of doing a LinkedIn competitor, call me. I will start moving. I mean, I'm such a fan of LinkedIn. I use it so much. I use it for my business. I use it for all my clients. I use it everywhere I go. But this process really had me riled up. It had me so riled up. I'm just. What a bad process. And how many times have we been through the same? I mean, I think I've shared, I think you were with me, Alex, so that when it was a telephony system or something, I can't remember. Again, I was ready to buy. I'm like, here I am. Tell me where to put in my PIN number. I'm ready. And again, it was, no, we need to talk first. We need to discuss things. What, like, why? If I've said yes. You're putting me off. And in fact, that guy lost the sale because I went to the next guy. Like, I was just like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, no,
I
that's all.
need to move. I need to move on, and you're wasting my time.
Yeah. Do you think there will be a competitor for LinkedIn? I know we had like Google Plus, didn't we? Which I think at one point was vying for some kind of space in the business side from a social media point of view, but it didn't really kick off. So then they kind of, I think, just went towards the listings on the search engine. But from my memory, there hasn't really has there been a startup or anything that's just tried to rival LinkedIn?
Not that I know of.
No. Be interesting to see in the future if there is one, because there seems to be one for every other social media.
But it hasn't been around that long, right? How long has LinkedIn been around? Let's have a look.
I think it's probably been around longer than you think.
Well, it's the first social media platform. I was reading that the other day, as LinkedIn was one of the first ones,
It's
right?
like when you watch a movie and you say, oh no, this is quite a new movie. And then you look at the date and it was made in 2002. And you realize 2002 is 22 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know what I was researching for something, and I came up with LinkedIn. But never say never, right? I
It was in
think.
2000, 2003 it officially launched.
Yeah. So it's not that long ago.
Everything's like 20 years.
I know, but things change. Okay. It's time, guys. Let's put it out there. It's time for a competitor to LinkedIn. Come on. Somebody must be able to
It's
do
been
it.
out there more than half my life. There we go.
Okay.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I see it's only a small peace of mind, so I'm good.
But yeah, there should there, maybe, I think there should be a rival. Why not?
It's time, guys. It's time.
Let's put those feelers out there for anyone who wants to start that. You've got two sign up potential sign-uppies already. Just
Yeah, there we
don't
go.
take too long to put us through the sales cycle.
Yes, just take our money. Don't try and sell. Just we've said yes already. Don't try and unsell
Yeah.
right? But
Going back to that theme, I've had this same recently. And we always receive cold emails all the time, and most of the time we always ignore them. But I've had a couple where the reason why people do cold emails, I guess, is because one in every thousand they strike lucky, right? And I got a couple of emails which resonated with me because there was a couple of services I was looking for. The first one I replied to, I got a rejection, like a bounce back from their email address. Like it was,
Ouch.
yeah. So I was like, okay, terrible. And then the second one, I just didn't get a response.
Ouch.
Yeah. These were just two completely separate businesses. Well, I wouldn't chase them, but
You want to?
like that they've completely lost out, and that business, if I remember it, will never.
Marketing spend, like if you're not closing the sale, you're just wasting everything. I actually had this conversation yesterday on a networking, and I know we've doesn't work because you didn't make two sales at the first event you went to. That's not what it's about. I'm going to ask what you did afterwards. Did you connect with everyone on LinkedIn? Did you say, hey, we met at X and X event? Can we connect here? Did you start sharing valuable content? Did you then go back saying, we met then? Would you like to review your, like, it's a journey, right? It's not a pitch up, buy my stuff. You know, and I mean, the classic is you don't ask someone to marry you on the first date, right? It's the same. Like, networking is about relationships. And because this was the feedback, because I shared with you this, I'm going to this Twickenham one next week, you know. And I said, oh, I think this is an opportunity. Oh, no, networking doesn't work. Really? Because you didn't sign five deals. How many times did you go? Did you contact anybody? Did you do the work? And it's wasted sales, right? It's wasted marketing spend if you don't do the work. And the same, what's the use of a cold email if you don't respond when people say yes?
No, exactly. And I'm about to do start to do some account-based marketing on LinkedIn through some personalized emails. And it's gonna it, I'm gonna spend a hell of a lot of time really thinking through the processes, the responses, the triggers, the trees, and then just to make sure it's A, feels natural, B, there aren't any dead ends. Like dead end is the worst thing you can do. I mean, of course there will be a dead end eventually if you've tried, so many different times to re-engage with the person and that contact is dead, then you do need to stop at some point. But
Stop before it becomes spam.
at least get through the first part when they respond, at least respond back to that.
And give a soft response option, like subscribe to our quarterly newsletter, right? The soft response option in case they partially intrigued but not yet ready to buy, right?
And I think with the nurturing journeys, you do really have to be sensitive to the people you're doing, especially if you have a small target base, right? Because you don't have that much room for error.
Exactly. Because once people just, you know, once they dislike you, it's done. Like with us, right? Once we're done, we're done. We're like never working with them again. Like this is not gonna work.
Especially in B2B, I feel like you have, maybe this is not true, this is a feeling. I feel like you have less time in B2B because people are less, they're a little bit more logical about things, and if it just doesn't work for them straight away, then it's like, oh, I can move away from that. But with B2C, Wait, I'm going to start to backtrack a little bit here, actually.
I think it's the same.
Yeah.
I think people are busy, whether they're B2B or B2C, you're still talking to a person who's busy, got lots on their plate, whether it's home stuff or work stuff, they're busy. And so they don't have time for irritation factor. And therefore, if you've irritated them, it's they've moved on. They've hopefully, in the best case scenarios, they've forgotten you. Okay. That if you've irritated them, your best case scenario is that they forget you so that you do have a second chance later.
Yeah.
Your worst case scenario is they despise you and will
Yeah.
then, like us, go and talk about things on podcasts and LinkedIn and Facebook and tell everybody how bad the experience was, right? That's
Yeah.
your worst case scenario.
Yeah. I think maybe what I was thinking about is the quantity of B2B versus B2C is different, isn't it? B2C, there's a huge number of consumer brands out there in
Your pool is
comparison.
smaller.
Pool
I
is smaller
agree.
than B2B. So you have more of a chance of being remembered positively or negatively, I
Yeah,
think,
I would agree with that.
what I was
But also, the
looking
more
at.
you, if your pool is, I don't know, 1,000, and you upset 500, your sales opportunities are far less, right? Whereas B2C, if your pools are usually millions or hundred thousands or like this big pool, so you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I suppose it's all marketing, right? It depends. If you have a niche B2C product that is a small pool, you have the same problem. So it's all about the size of
Yeah.
your pool.
No, you're right, yeah. Either way,
Don't do
don't do it.
Don't do
Yeah.
it. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Not to us, not to anybody. Close the loop. Respond on sales. And I know, oh, I had to get back to someone yesterday because they contacted me over Christmas and I was just busy and then it went out of my brain and I didn't get back, but I went back yesterday. Oh, I apologize. I'm so sorry. Happy to pick it up. So, it does happen, but then do what I do. Apologize, say sorry, pick it up, right? So you can, and we're not saying you can never make a mistake, but don't leave someone hanging. That's just hard. And definitely, if they want to buy, take their money, please.
Yeah. And I think if you're working on an automation, for example, because that, I mean, that's where a lot of the stuff we're doing, right? It's automation based. If you are in a business where at some point that lead then moves off to sales, I think at that point the relationship between sales and marketing is super important, because I've seen cases where it goes off to the sales and then they have their own understanding of the customer and how to speak to them and what the objections are, et cetera, et cetera. But as marketing, we've done a lot of, well, we should do a lot of research into that audience and understand what their objections are, what the buying decision tree is, and who's behind them. Is it their boss, their mother, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, or whatever? Like, we understand a lot of that, so it's quite important to make sure that when that lead goes to sales, that sales are continuing in the same vein that that person went through, because that obviously worked, and you want to keep the consistency of the messaging, the vibe that you're giving the customer. I think sometimes that can be lost as soon as it goes to sales. In fact, I was working recently with a company and I was really impressed with the upfront sales process. And then this is actually slightly different because it goes on to the onboarding, but I felt really important as I was going through that sales process, and I felt like they really understood what I wanted, and the process was really slick. And then I went through to the onboarding. It was slow. I felt like I was part of a million other customers. I suddenly felt like I was further down the list. I don't know, maybe it was something I said, they didn't like me. But that was suddenly a disconnect from the initial process I had. In fact, I was so impressed with the initial process. In my meeting with the guy, I was like, "This is I was really impressed with your sales process, by the way. This is really slick. Everything you did did for me, even sending through the invoice and the way that came through. Everything was brilliant. I even said that because I was really impressed in the moment. And then they let me down after that.
I mean, that is interesting when you've got bigger teams, right? Because your salesperson and the person that's going to be your account manager are usually not the same people.
No.
And you may build a good rapport with a salesperson, but then we don't have a rapport with your account manager.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this is not for me now, right? Like, can I have the other guy back?
Yeah, no, that was really sad. And I'd also paid by that point.
I was looking for a coach, and I had a similar experience. The salesperson that sold to me this coaching program was fantastic. We connected, it was fantastic, everything was fine. But I said, I'm not sure about this, because then the person you're going to hand me over to, I'm not going to have the same experience. Like, and this is important to me, right? I know I've had horrible experiences with coaches in the past. So I know I didn't make the mistake, thank goodness. Like, I don't want to get to this, that I've paid money and then the person I'm palmed off to, because that's what it feels like. It feels like you palmed off to someone,
that,
right?
I hate that feeling. It's like,
they've got your money now, so now
I've got
you can
everything
go into the drinks.
And then move on. You know, we, like you said, us also, it doesn't matter if it's B2B, B2C, we're all humans at the end of the day. And we
want
all
to
have
feel special.
And some of us are sensitive. I'm pointing at myself. And when I get palmed off, I feel like, even though it's a business transaction, I'm like, did I say something that you didn't like? You know? And that's not a nice way to make your customer feel.
Well, I think we need to get our superstar salesperson onto this podcast the next time to tell us how to do it properly. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Because we know all the bad examples, but we have had good examples, and most of them have come from Mikkel, right? So I think we need to get Mikkel on.
Yeah.
And he can tell us how to do it properly.
And he can tell us his side of the story as well.
Yeah, let's do that, Alex. Let's get him on and get the other side.
Okay, that sounds good to me. I think that's a fair trial of marketing and sales.
Brilliant. I will set it up.
Okay, cool.
See you soon.
But until then, ciao.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That wraps up this episode of Giraffes Don't Eat Steak. Thanks for joining us. I hope you found value in our discussion and got some new ideas to apply to your own business. Tune in next week for another round of marketing insights and inspiration. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening. Catch you next time on Giraffes Don't Eat Steak.